Please open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. This morning we're beginning the 12th chapter, the first six verses of chapter 12, and we'll be studying about the woman and her child. The book of Revelation, chapter 12, beginning at verse 1 through verse 6. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and from her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. The principal figures in this particular scene that John sees now is, first of all, a woman, and then the adversary of the woman. The adversary of the woman in the sense that this adversary ceases to take the child as soon as it's born to the woman and destroy it. And as we look at this overview of the last days of this age, that is the age in which you and I live, we understand that John has already had the announcement made to him that he will see this overview of the age as he receives revelation that's recorded in chapter 10 and verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his prophets. Then in verse 15 of chapter 11, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. Now we have seen that at the sounding of the seventh trumpet, then all of the things that are overviewed here will start coming to pass. In this chapter, we see the nation of Israel and her struggle with Satan. And we might say that this also demonstrates the struggle that has been going on since Adam and Eve were created and then sinned against God. The struggle that has been going on between the seed of the woman to be brought into the world and redeem all things that were lost in the fall and Satan. And I realize that we're going to have to be very careful this morning and pay particular attention and concentrate as thoroughly and as closely as we can upon the Word of God. Now, in this chapter, we see the nation of Israel presented in verse 1. I am convinced of that. So we must understand that God has not abandoned the Jew. There are those who believe that when Christ was crucified and the church then was commissioned to become the covenant people of God on earth, that God then cut off the Jew. When the Jews rejected Jesus as the Messiah, then the Jews were cut off. Now the Bible tells us that the Jews were not cut off, that branches were broken off, and the Gentiles were grafted into the branches, but we are bearing the sustenance that comes from the root. And the Jews as a people, as a nation of people, have not been cut off. Paul wrote in Romans 11 and 15, "For if the casting away of them," that is the Jews, "be the reconciling of the world," now notice, "what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" The receiving of the nation of Israel as such in the last days will be, as we witness, life from the dead. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery," which means this revealed truth, "lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness," that means hardness of heart, "is in part," that is in part, "happened to Israel." Not every Jew is lost. Some are saved, and Paul cites himself as an example of this. "But blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." If you look at Revelation chapter 11 and verse 2, "But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles." But that will be taken away, and Israel as a nation of saved people will have a part in the economy of God in the millennial reign of Christ. Now notice, in verse 26 of chapter 11, "And so all Israel shall be saved." That doesn't mean every Israelite will be saved, but Israel as a nation will survive. And the apostles were promised that because of their giving of themselves to the initial thrust of the kingdom of God at the coming of Christ and bearing the shame of receiving him and being an apostle, that they will sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This means that there are no 10 lost tribes. And so all Israel, that is every segment of that nation, will be saved. All of the tribes. So all nations, all Israel shall be saved. Not every Israelite, but all Israel. It's like saying that all 50 states will survive. So all America shall be saved. That is, all 50 states will be intact. That's what Paul means when he says, "For all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer." Now, the deliverer did not come out of Zion. He came out of Bethlehem. And that is, the Messiah, the suffering Messiah, didn't come from Zion. And he was not a deliverer, as this word implies. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was despised and rejected of men, and he went to the cross and died for our sins. But one of these days, Jesus Christ will come from Zion, from Jerusalem, and be the deliverer of his people, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now in verse 11, chapter 20, verse 27 of chapter 11, "For this is my covenant unto them." For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. He is saying, Paul is writing, that one of these days God's covenant will be fulfilled to Israel when he takes away all their sin. And he will do that one of these days. So all Israel shall be saved. Now, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. This word that's translated appear means to see an object. John saw an object, and the Bible tells us it was a wonder. And that word literally means a sign. A sign or token by which anything is designated, distinguished, or known. Now John is saying, I saw a sign in heaven that represents something. That represents something that you are already familiar with. We have a sign in America. It's a golden arch. Now, you don't eat the golden arch, but it's symbolic and a sign of something that you can find something to eat there, okay? That's what he's talking about. I saw a distinguishing insignia. I saw something in heaven. A sign, which anything is a sign, is not the thing. A road sign is not the curves of the road, but it tells us what the road is like ahead of us. And that's what this word sign means. I saw something of that signifies a prior knowledge. Now, what did he see? Well, he said, I saw a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of stars. Now, in order for what we've said previously to be true, we need to ask ourselves, is there such a vision that men of God have studied in the past that would be a sign of a particular group of people? I think we find that answered in Genesis 37 and 9, which is a dream of Joseph. And he, that is Joseph, dreamed another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. That is another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. So you count Joseph, and that means 12 stars. So here is the sun and the moon and the 12 stars. And I think that's what John saw and immediately understood this sign to represent. That is the nation of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, the descendants of Jacob and Isaac. Now, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. So this woman is a woman who is ready to give birth. The Bible tells us that she cried, which means to scream or to cry out. That she was trailing, travailing, which means to be in labor. That she pained, which is a word that means to be in great pain. And the word delivered means to bear a child. This is the nation of Israel, chosen to bear the Son of God through a virgin. Now, this is not something that's going to happen in the past. This is something that, in the future rather, this is something that's happened in the past. Really, John is getting a history lesson in just a few verses. He's getting a lesson in history so that he'll be able to see for sure the place of the nation of Israel in the tribulation period and in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the woman. She's crying out. She's travailing. She's in pain, ready to be delivered. Now, as we consider this, we know that through the nation of Israel, the Son of God came. In Romans chapter 9 and verses 4 and 5, I'll not turn and read all of that, but Paul spoke of whom concerning the flesh Christ came. Now he's talking about the Jews, particularly the nation of Israel, and he's saying that it was through the nation of Israel that in the flesh Christ came. The nation of Israel gave flesh to the Son of God through the Virgin Mary. Now this is the scene. Here's the woman. She's in travail. She's in pain. She's ready to be delivered. And then the second wonder or sign appeared in heaven. Verses 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And those are the two same exact words. That is a sign or token and an object. John saw an object and it was the token or sign of something else. Not the thing itself, but a sign of something else. And behold, a great red dragon having seven heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. This is then the sign that John saw. He didn't see the thing, but he saw a sign that represents something else. The woman wasn't what he saw. She represented a truth. And the dragon was a sign or a representation of something else. These are signs or insignias or insignias or methods or means of identifying. And behold, this is the great sign or mega wonder that John saw. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. The word that's translated dragon means a large kind of serpent. And I think all of us have already made up our minds and decided this must be a representation of Satan, and it certainly is. He is said to be red or filled with the blood of the saints. In Revelation chapters 13 and 1, chapter 13 and 1, we see this mentioned again. That is, he has 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Then in chapter 17 and verse 3, a like creature seen, but there's something missing. And there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials and talked. And I'll show thee the judgments of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, and with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Now notice verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit unto the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. Now this is not the same woman, full of names of blasphemies, having 7 heads and 10 horns. They don't have the 7 crowns there, and I think there is a reason for that. This is obviously Satan. 7 heads, which may speak of his viciousness, and 10 horns, which probably indicate his physical powers, and 7 crowns, which may represent his political power. But whatever these represent, they certainly give us the picture of this sign that John saw in heaven. Number one, he saw a woman in heaven ready to give birth, at the point of giving birth. And he saw this red dragon posed and poised, ready, as the Bible tells us, to devour her. Now, who is this red dragon? Well, we're going to have to ask ourselves the question, where did Satan come from? Verse 4 tells us, and I heard, verse 4 of this chapter tells us, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now we're talking about Satan. That's obvious. We can immediately see that. His tail, that is the sweeping tail of an animal, like an animal's tail sweeps back and forth as it runs or as it walks. And his tail drew or swept a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, or because of him they were cast to the earth. We understand from the Bible that Satan was a creature of God. But you ask, how could God create anything so wicked as Satan? The truth is that he was created perfect and then became sinful because of what he felt inside of himself. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 28 and get a very vivid picture of Satan and the beginning of Satan. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. Now, if you look at this, you'll say, well, he's talking about a particular king. Well, it's more than that. He's talking about Satan. In verse 11 of chapter 28, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Now, this is simply prophetic language, and he's saying the king of Tyrus is like Satan, and this is what Satan is like. Thou hast been, well, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. We understand that Satan is a person that is full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, and totally complete. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. This may be the first garden that God ever created, and not the garden eastward of Eden where he placed man and woman. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and all these stones are listed here. Were also stones listed in the breastplate of the high priest of Israel. That's very strange. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So Satan was created, and he was created by Almighty God. Now notice, thou art the anointed cherub that covers, that I have set thee so. That is, God set this angel, whose name was not Satan at that time, but his name was Lucifer. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. He was involved intricately in the government of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He had access into the very holiest places of Almighty God. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Now notice, till iniquity was found in thee. What was the iniquity that was found in this sublime, powerful creature called Lucifer? It was probably jealousy, as we'll see in just a moment. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, there's a little more information about this person. Chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Luminous is the same word that Lucifer comes from. Bright and shining one. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? Now this is what's going to happen to him. For thou hast said, here's the sin that Satan evidently committed. Iniquity was found in his heart. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, that is God Almighty. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. I rather suspect that Satan, in all of his beauty, became jealous either of the relationship that existed between Jesus Christ and Almighty God, or he simply looked at himself and became vain and iniquitous and decided that he would overthrow God. And you say, but preacher, this is a Star Wars type mythology that you've got in mind here, and things like this never happened. Yes, things must have a beginning. And God created three archangels and set each of them over one-third of his particular realm. And Lucifer was a bright and powerful angel who sinned against God and then was cast out of heaven by the angels of God. Now, he came to earth, and since that time, his domain has been the air, and he's called the Prince of the Power of the Air. And at this time, he is still working. And when Moses died, Michael the archangel would not engage in battle with Satan, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And the devil today is in charge of many things. He is a liar and the father of all lies. He is the instigator of all heartache. He is the father and instigator of all disease. He is, in fact, the devil, that old serpent, Satan. Now, and the dragon stood before the woman, that is Satan, this one that has been expelled as the archangel of God. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. The word stood means to stand fast. So it has the idea that Satan has been watching this woman for a long period of time and has been standing fast. He hasn't been taking his eye off this woman. He's standing fast and he is ready, which means to be about to do. That means he has everything in place. And he's been watching and standing fast this vigil and he's waiting for the woman to deliver. The word means to give near or to hand over. So it has in it the idea, as soon as this baby is born and it is being handed over in the very first seconds of his birth to the woman or person who will care for it, Satan is standing ready at vigil. He's prepared to take this child and devour, which means to swallow down or to completely destroy. And you'll notice the child as soon as it is born. Now there's a picture of Satan ready to devour Jesus Christ as soon as he is born. Because Jesus Christ is the key to the redemption of everything that Adam lost in the first fall. Adam is the first Adam. Jesus is the second Adam. Everything that the first Adam lost, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, will regain. How will he regain it? By redeeming it with his blood. So Satan is watching Israel to devour the man-child as soon as it's handed over or delivered. And it's rather unique, as we think of this circumstance, to observe that the devil has always had woman trouble. Now, don't misunderstand me. But you'll notice that he has tried to thwart the plan and will of God through the woman, and it is the seed of the woman that will redeem mankind. It was through the deception of the woman that man lost his right to paradise. It will be by the seed of the woman that mankind regains his right to paradise. Now there are times whenever this is referred to as seed from the viewpoint of the male, as in Abraham, "And in thy seed," singular, "shall all the nations of the earth be blessed," which means that the descendant that comes through Abraham will be the redeeming one, Christ. But in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verses 1 through 6, as we study the temptation of Eve, we understand that Satan would be destroyed by the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man. And remember, this is the very first book of the Bible, the third chapter, verse 16. "Unto the woman he said," I will, verse 15, and he speaks to Satan, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You know, I've often thought, if I'd been dividing the the Bible into chapters and verses, I would have made this chapter 3, but I'd made that verse 16 so it could have matched John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But there's enmity then at this time put between the seed of the woman and the serpent, Satan. And the devil has been watching, doing all that he could since this time to destroy that seed. You'll notice as you study the book of Genesis that Satan immediately began to corrupt the human race and cause Cain to slay Abel. The devil thought if Abel is slain, that'll cut off the seed of the woman. But Seth was born, and his name means that which is appointed. And the Bible tells us that God has a group of faithful people then who would keep alive these promises of God. The earth was corrupted by the devil. And I suppose Satan thought that God would destroy every creature because every creature was evil. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that seed of the woman was put on that ark along with the animals of the earth to preserve them. And in the loins of Noah was the seed of the woman. Moses was that faithful line through whom this would come. God preserved Moses. Satan put it in the heart of Pharaoh to have all the men children killed. All of the males were to be put to death. But Moses was a goodly child. His mother and father by faith hid him, and his sister reared him. David was also that line through which the Christ child is to come, his descendants. And every time that Saul threw a javelin at David, David was protected. Herod slew the infants, and yet by the providence of God, Mary and Joseph with their infant Jesus was led into Egypt. And Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, hoping that he would accept the kingdoms of this world without dying on the cross. And if that happened, Jesus would have taken a shortcut away from his suffering. But mankind would never have been redeemed. Satan entered into Judas to betray him. And Satan maneuvered his crucifixion. And when he was placed in the grave, intended to keep him in the grave. But Jesus Christ came out triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, the statement, and her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. You know, it just leaves out so much, doesn't it? But all that it leaves out there is left out of the history of Israel. You see, when the child is delivered and when the child is rejected as the king, that cuts off what God has to do with Israel. And God turns the Gentiles, and this becomes the Gentile age. One of these days, Jesus Christ will then have some other part in the work of the nation of Israel. The woman then, in the tribulation period, is protected providentially and directly by Almighty God. Here's where Israel comes back into the picture now. That is, during the period that we're studying, the time of the tribulation, of God's last dealings with the earth. And the woman fled into the wilderness, for she hath a place prepared. And this word prepared means that which has been prepared and now stands ready. God has a place prepared of God, He has a place prepared for her that they should feed her there. That word means to shepherd or to nourish 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. God keeps his promises. God keeps his covenant. And Satan, with all of the other activities that he involved himself in, as a deceiver, as we'll see, of the nations, and as the father of ever malignancy that's ever affected mankind, he had something always on his mind. He had something that was the center of his attention, and that was to devour this child just as soon as it was born. Why did the devil want to do that? As I said before, because Jesus Christ is the redemptive force for all things. The blood, we're not redeemed by the blood of bulls and of goats. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, precious simply means the valuable blood of Jesus Christ. So in this child that is born will pulse the blood that will redeem all things to God. Even the fish in the sea and the animals that roam the land and the plants that have been adversely affected by the fall of Satan and the stars and the earth, and all things will be redeemed, not by human effort, not by man's intellect, not by the pursuit of knowledge in the sciences and in every field, but it will be brought to pass by the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. And Satan said, if I can stop that baby, if I can get that child just as soon as it's born, then I can stop and thwart and set aside the whole redemptive purpose of Almighty God. You know, in the book of Luke, the Bible tells us of a very wise man by the name of Simeon. And the Bible tells us that he was a devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now notice, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He held that little baby in his hands and he said, this is the Lord's salvation. He didn't hold a bundle of good works. He didn't hold a baptistry. He didn't hold the Lord's Supper. But he held a little baby and he said, this is God's plan of salvation. He that believeth in him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Our musicians will come and we'll stand and sing hymn of invitation. And as we sing this hymn of invitation, I invite you to come to this man-child, this Messiah, this Christ. His name is Jesus. You say, I don't know which one you're talking about, Brother Penn. Which holy man are you speaking of? Maybe it was Moses, or perhaps it is Muhammad. What is the name of this redeeming one? In order that there might not be any confusion, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. And Peter said, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the name of Jesus. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what is the Lord's name? Jesus shall be saved. Come this morning and trust Him in your heart. Give your soul and life to Him in commitment.